Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Okay, take two.
Take two. So this is take two for us because Sarah and I got talking about this and we spiraled so fast that we had to restart the podcast.
I mean, that just speaks to the like rocky bed that is this subject.
I know. So today we're going to be talking. So here's the premise for this whole episode is that sometimes we get approached by people, sometimes it's survivors, sometimes it's nurses, asking us our stance on alternative care. Mm-hmm. And I want to be very clear because when they say alternative care, they're asking us if we promote stepping outside of conventional cancer treatment and doing things that are not the standard of care. And the answer is we don't get involved in that decision making at all.
No.
So through the nonprofit Faith Through Fire, we make it very clear that we are not there to make recommendations nor judge women's choices when it comes to their care.
Right.
I think why people ask us this is because we are very hyper focused and interested in integrative care.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, maybe a balance between conventional and non-conventional treatments.
And empowering choice.
Empowering choice, yeah.
And empowering choice. Integrative care and empowering choice.
So today we're going to talk about why we think integrative health is important.
And then what we think is missing in current cancer care and how integrative can help.
Yeah, and the mental health benefits of integrative care for patients.
Before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our waitlist, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
All right, so we're back. So studies indicate that up to 43% of cancer patients globally have used integrative medicine therapies during their treatment. This trend is not going away.
No, I mean, and I'm hearing way more about it now.
Oh, my gosh. And we see it at Faith Through Fire. It's like women get through the treatment process. They kind of go into survivorship all optimistic and hopeful for the future. And then when their symptoms aren't resolved, either they're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, I treated the cancer. Like, why do I now have all these other things going on? And so a lot of people are trying to figure out and they're going to their doctor and saying, hey, the brain fog is insane. Or, hey, the joint pain is insane.
It's like when I asked my oncologist why my sex life was just the Sahara.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, ah.
Yeah.
Go talk to Barb.
I think she knows something about that.
She's in menopause.
Right. It's like we're not getting answers from traditional care models. And so women are like, I'm not living like this. Like, my quality of life is too important. So they start searching for answers. And I think that's where we're at now. And I think that's why Faith Through Fire appeals to so many women, because they're like, I'm more than just a disease. I'm a whole person, and I am not getting resolution to some of these symptoms even after treatment. Mm-hmm. What we hope for this episode is that by the end, you feel empowered instead of disempowered.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I think medical providers and the public think of integrative care as like some very specific things like acupuncture or massage therapy, or like a lot of the hospitals will bring in dogs or horticulturalists to reduce stress.
Those things could be good for your health.
Yeah.
We're not saying that they're not.
No.
And we're not saying that they're not necessarily integrative, because they do work with your health.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're meant to mentally and physically support you for sure. I'm just saying that integrative health expands way beyond those things.
Totally.
And I personally think, I mean, you and I think way bigger when it comes to integrative care. In my opinion, it's deep work that you do on your mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah.
And that's not anything anybody can do for you. A doctor cannot do deep work on your mind, body, and spirit. No. It's not happening.
No, it's very personal.
No, it's so personal. And it's a journey. And each part of that takes time and deep reflection. And I think what we're always telling women is take the time.
Yeah.
Take the time. And that's what I think. I think that's the gift of treatment. We focus all of our energy on how awful treatment is and all the side effects it gives us. But for me, I looked at it as time. This is time to do self-exploration and to get stronger.
So I this is like a really fun analogy, and I think the video was like burned in my brain, but he was a stage four, I want to say he had colon cancer, and he like looked awful, but he's got some really, he's got a really cool Instagram presence. But he did a video and he was like, you buy an $80,000-$90,000 car. Like, I mean, there are cars out there that are that expensive now. It's insane. And well, they're even more expensive, but you buy this car, and then you like, you take it to the car wash and you clean the inside and you vacuum it and you like make sure that the belts are changed and you do all this stuff. And he's like, that car will probably last you 10, 15 years. Like if you take good care of it, he go, you have one body. Are you taking it to the car wash? Are you cleaning it? Are you vacuuming it? Are you changing its belts? Like, how are you taking care of it?
Oh,
in what ways? Yeah.
And this is somebody in a stage four cancer diagnosis.
Had. He's like in complete remission now. Because he did a lot of
intentional work.
Deep work.
And I think that's also when people come at you angry or worried that you're promoting alternative care instead of integrative care. I do think it's a reflection on their own fear. You know, they've married themselves to that kind of work, the conventional work. Yeah. Nurses or doctors have spent eons in school to learn this stuff. So to have somebody question it feels very personal and threatening to them.
Yeah.
Or a patient who hasn't done the deep work yet is feeling guilty.
Well, and I think that's the difference between what we're doing right now. We're not vilifying any of those things. Those, they there's data out there that they kill cancer cells, but you can't just stop there.
No. You and I firmly believe you cannot stop there.
Yeah. There's something that made the cancer happen in the first place. So
Correct.
Like, let's just back up a little bit and figure out, you know, what we can do.
I think the problem is most people don't have a clue where to start. And we've talked about this in previous episodes, that when you go down the route of trying to find different providers who maybe do dabble in those things, it's the Wild West.
It is very Wild West.
It's not highly regulated.
Yes. And there's like a bajillion coaches out there.
And anybody can say
I am a coach.
Yeah. And so anybody can say that. And so, you know, you really have to operate with incredible discernment and really advocate for yourself and abort quickly if you know, meet somebody and they're not, you don't get a good feeling about them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the challenge. So I want to kind of talk about what we think is missing in cancer care today. But before we do that, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News, Boobs in the News, Boobs in the News.
So I don't know when this is going to air, so it may not be timely at all.
Okay.
But we just recently celebrated April Fool's Day.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? So by the time people listen to this, it's probably like August or September. But this says, what are some of the most famous April Fool's Day pranks?
Oh, boy.
Okay, so here's a couple. I haven't read these, so maybe they're funny, maybe they're not. In 2021, then First Lady Jill Biden pretended to be a flight attendant on an airplane traveling from California to Washington. She wore a jasmine name tag and passed out Dove ice cream bars while wearing a black mask, black pantsuit, and wig.
Hilarious.
A few minutes later, Jasmine reemerged without the wig, revealing herself to be Jill Biden, laughing and proclaiming April Fools.
You know what? I don't even know that I could point her out in a crowd.
That's what I was saying. If she came out undressed,
they didn't really show her a lot.
No.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know if I would recognize her or not.
Yeah.
Google co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin became known for announcing outlandish ideas every April Fool's Day soon after starting their company more than a quarter of a century ago.
Hilarious.
One year, Google posted a job opening for a Copernicus Research Center on the moon. That would be funny. like a job opening.
Yeah.
They're just doing, can you imagine the resumes you get for that?
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, how many do you think they got?
Oh, I have no idea.
And then what do you think their qualifications were?
Yeah.
Another year, the company said it planned to roll out a scratch and sniff feature on its search engine.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Have you ever done like a really epic April Fool's?
No, but my daughter, I'm not an April Fool's person. Uh-huh. So I don't, although I'm surprised that I don't, because I kind of like silly things. But my daughter, who's 13, she really wanted to do one. And she kept throwing, she's like, go tell dad you want a puppy. And I'm like, your dad knows I don't want a puppy. Yeah, like, that's never going to.
You guys are too practical.
Yeah.
I find that about myself. Yeah. I'm too practical.
So the one we ended up landing on was that Emily had been chatting with a boy online and he wanted to take her out. And I was okay with it. And
hilarious.
Yeah. And that did not go well.
I bet it did not.
Emily was trying to keep a straight face as she's talking to Gary. And Gary's like, absolutely not. You're 13 years old. This is not happening. I can't even believe you're talking about this. Like, I am not approving and blah, 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 blah. And then finally, I looked at Emily like, his blood pressure is getting real high.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we need
abort.
And so, yeah. So Emily's like, April Fools. And he's like, oh, you guys are jerks.
Yeah.
So that was our April Fools joke. What
That's
about you?
Funny. I have never really, like, other than in middle school, I told my boyfriend I was moving. But on that
Because you
note,
really wanted to dump him?
No. No. Because it was April Fool's. And I was like, oh, it'd be funny to write him a note. But no. But I then, so last year, my youngest, I feel like she's, like, really great at acting. And she's really good at telling a story and making it believable. She called one of her friends who was, like, our babysitter's son. And she goes, we're moving to Colorado. And he started crying.
Yes. You have to be careful with those kind of pranks.
Like, really crying and was really upset.
Backfire.
And she was like, she had no regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets.
She rolled with it. She
goes, hilarious. I made Cole cry. Cole cry. Yeah. Cole is crying.
Oh my God.
April Fool's.
So funny.
What a silly guy. He believed me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Your heart's broken.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
I think that's funny. I wouldn't. Should we start doing like a Faith or Fire April Fool's?
I don't know. Like, it's like you want it to be a silly thing. What would we do? Oh, we could just be like, we're quitting.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We're all shut. I don't know. That would be
shutting
sad
the
too.
Doors.
That would be sad, too.
It would be sad. I know. It's a hard one trying to find a balance between like what's silly and.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. ChatGPT would give us a good one.
Yeah. There you go. It says in Scotland, April Fool's has a history of being a 2-day event.
Oh.
So April 1st is known as Gokey Day or Hunt the Goke. I don't know what that is. Goke is a term used to describe a fool. And then on April 2nd, the celebration may become more physical.
Oh, geez.
With children attaching kick me signs to people's backs.
Jeez Louise.
Okay, Scotland.
Where did April... Did April Fool's come out of Scotland?
I think it came out of France. Let me see here. It says...
This has turned into a history lesson.
It has... One idea is that it dates back to France in 1564 when King Charles moved the New Year celebration from its week-long observance beginning March 25th to the celebration on January 1st. Those who forgot or were never told about the change were mocked. Oh.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Interesting.
It started off...
It's a murky history. We don't know. Yeah. We're just going to leave it at that.
There's your bibs.
Bibs in the news, bibs in the news, bibs in the news.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're back. So you and I have done a lot of integrative work, and for each of us, that kind of looks different.
Yeah.
And it is definitely a journey. In my opinion, there's four main areas that get ignored.
Yeah.
In current care. Like, it's not even cancer
care. I think these are like four of the top.
Four of the top areas that we feel like get ignored when it comes to your health that we think benefit from additional support and, you know, attention.
Yeah.
So the first is gut health.
Yeah. I feel like this is becoming more and more mainstream. There's documentaries about it. I feel like it's...
I mean, yes.
It's all of a sudden, it's, you know, have you noticed it's on your food? Contains... Live bacteria, cultures, and like kombucha,
finally starting to talk about gut health. I mean, your gut houses trillions of microbes that directly influence your immune system.
Yeah.
So 70% of the immune system lives in the gut. This is scientifically proven. So if you get cancer, your immune system did not work. Should you look at your gut then?
AKA maybe your gut.
Maybe your gut.
Yeah.
The other thing is that now that they know that colorectal cancer is strongly associated with gut microbiome changes, mm-hmm. breast cancer has been linked to gut bacteria that affect estrogen metabolism.
Yeah.
Certain microbes can increase or decrease circulating estrogen, which influences your risk. And yet, who's talking about their gut when you get cancer?
No one.
Nobody.
Nobody talks about
nobody.
My gut. Nobody. So although I quickly brought that up because I could not eat some things that I enjoyed before at all. And they were plants.
This was after treatment.
Yes, after treatment.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, the bottom line is that cancer, like I said before, cancer kills cells, but it also wreaks havoc on your body.
Chemo.
Yeah. So you need cancer treatments.
Treatments in general, yeah.
Will wreak havoc on your body. And if anybody were to argue that point, I'd just be like, I'm not going to you as in my doctor anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you put chemo in my body and radiation on my body, and you're going to try to tell me that that's not causing problems down the road? Please.
Yeah.
And so the gut is just like a duh for me. It's, you know, it's like, I think it's part of the reason I got sick to begin with. And I think it's something I still struggle with in the aftermath of cancer. And for me, that's a focus for me with my integrative care.
Yep. Same, same. It's like as easy as you just completed chemo, you know, or radiation. We really highly recommend after. Here's a like a gut program.
Yeah. Probiotics. Like,
probiotics.
You know, here's like some enzymes. Like, yes. You know, like, but again, I mean, we talked about this with our interview with Dr. Axe. It's like, you know, it wouldn't be hard for providers to drop that into the conversation, you know, as you're going in for your checkups post-treatment, but it's just not part of the conversation.
Yeah.
But part of that is that they're not educated on that. That's not their specialty.
Yeah.
And that's what's forcing women to have to go look elsewhere to get that kind of support.
Yeah.
So that's number one is gut health. That's something that I think should be on everybody's radar once you've had cancer. Secondly, mental health. That's the whole basis for Faith Through Fire, right?
Yep.
Trauma resolution.
I mean, really, it could easily come down to nervous system regulation.
Right. That's what we really should call it.
Period.
People say mental health, but it's like your nervous system is dysregulated. Yeah. And get that under control.
This doesn't have to be somebody who's a cancer survivor. It could literally be anybody. Like anybody who flies off the handle easy or just like has a stressful job, like you're just dysregulated.
Yeah. Anybody who hasn't resolved their stress or trauma, you're going to need this.
Yeah.
And again, not a focus, which is crazy. Because now, you know, we've talked about this in so many episodes. There is data that shows like it's the ACEs. It's adverse childhood events. They are much more susceptible to cancer as adults. Mm-hmm. This is not a stretch to think that stressful or traumatic events that affect adults or in children could then therefore result in a cancer diagnosis.
You know, this is definitely connected to this, but I actually just got done reading The Tattooist of Auschwitz, all of my readers out there, whoop, whoop. But one thing I was thinking of is when I used to work at the birth center, when I would do some of the ladies that would come in, they would opt to do genetic testing. And I had always asked myself, why is like the Jewish community more susceptible to so many more genetic anomalies?
Generational trauma from the Holocaust?
And then after I read books like this, and like, obviously I knew about the Holocaust and like all the trauma. I mean, but I think when I read the actual stories, it's just like, oh, duh. Like generational trauma has like genetically modified them.
Yes.
Which is so sad.
But again, nobody has talked about this.
No.
Nor provided them with the support it takes to turn those genes off.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, there's really great organizations out there like the Share It and that are just supporting them on this.
Well, that's true. So, Share It is in St. Louis. I always worry that I'm saying their name wrong.
It's a national organization.
Yeah. But I'm saying they have a chapter in St. Louis. Yeah. And they are very focused on the genetic makeup of Jewish women and what their needs are in St. Louis. So if that's you, reach out to them because they're great.
But it just speaks to the mental impact, like generationally.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. And the same thing could be said for other minority populations. So, you know what I mean? Like, this is why we're just, guys, we have to address generational trauma. Like, we have to. Again, not a part of care. So that's why at Faith Through Fire, we are constantly encouraging women to seek out, you know, mental health support, whether it be through our programming, through a therapist, through, you know, mindfulness, yoga.
Build community.
Building community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reading books like Body Keeps the Score. Like, there's so many different ways you can address your mental health, but it needs to be done. And if you are not doing that post-treatment, girl.
It's a miss.
It's a miss. All right. Number three. Menopause. Do you know how many women think that the symptoms they're dealing with are related to cancer and they freak out only to find out that it's menopause?
I bet a lot.
A ton. So they'll get migraines and it's, oh, the cancer's in my brain, and they're getting MRIs for cancer in their brain when they have all these other symptoms of menopause. How often do you think their provider is identifying that they have menopause problems?
Yeah, they're not.
Very, very few. Yeah. And women literally think they're going crazy. So yeah. we had a member of Faith Through Fire who was experiencing all these. Now, this is a little bit extreme because everybody thinks of menopause. Oh,
hot flashes,
irritability,
dry skin,
you know, yeah. maybe some vaginal dryness.
Yeah.
But there are lots of menopause symptoms that people don't talk about. Heart palpitations, skin crawling, tingling, extreme brain fog, panic attacks. When women start experiencing this, which it often throws them into menopause if they weren't already there mm-hmm. from treatment, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this woman had a career where she could make mistakes and it would cost people dearly. And so she was terrified
yeah.
and wondering if she needed to quit.
And now we're back to mental health.
Right. But it was all menopausal related.
Yeah.
And when she figured that out, because she went to 7 different specialists, she went to a neurologist, she went to a cardiologist, she went to a bunch of people. Everybody said, oh, your blood work and everything is fine. You know, they weren't mm-hmm. paying attention to menopause. So just recently, she connected with a nutritional coach who specializes in menopausal women. And she's so optimistic and excited because there's so much more she could do
yeah.
holistically than she ever thought. And this doesn't have to be her life anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's the encouragement for people listening is that Sarah and I are very much, you pursue answers until you find what you need.
Yeah.
Right? You don't stop.
And somebody's first, like, your blood work looks fine.
You're fine.
But why do I feel bad?
Yeah, because, you know, and that's the thing. Women will be like, well, I guess I'm okay. And I just have to live with it. And we suffer in silence.
Yeah.
And we're just saying, don't do that. Keep looking. So menopause, I think so many women are suffering from menopause and don't even know it.
Yeah. You don't even have to be a cancer survivor and be struggling with menopause.
Heck no. But cancer is great for catapulting you there. And especially when women are getting their ovaries taken out, that's
yeah.
like 0 to 60.
Yeah.
I mean, it's immediate.
Yep.
There's no transition there.
Yep.
So I think that we need to do a better job of equipping women with the information and knowledge that they need to pursue additional support for menopause. The last one is physical activity. Nobody likes to exercise except for Sarah.
Shush.
And maybe Jess. I remember Jess.
Shush.
exercise is not people's favorite thing. However,
it doesn't have to be quote exercise. It could be quote movement. It could be taking a walk.
You're putting lipstick on a pig, my friend.
I am not putting
lipstick
on a pig.
You're putting lipstick on a friend.
Now, in reality, if you want to get some nice benefits such as metabolism and bone strength and stronger muscles, yeah, you need to lift something heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Weightlifting is where it's at for menopausal women, ladies. If you're not doing it, you're at a detriment. And I say this as somebody who is trying to work her way into making myself lift heavy.
You just need to come do it with me.
Oh,
yeah. I make it
fun. I've worked out with you and I don't like it because it's hard. But here's the bottom line, ladies, and we've said this a million times. There is a study that had 47,000 cancer patients in it, and those that had higher levels of muscle strength and cardiorespiratory fitness had a 31% to 46% lower risk of all-cause mortality.
Boom.
It is directly linked to your longevity. If you're not doing it, you're putting yourself at risk. And I think that's the thing that Sarah and I want to impress upon people. If you're depending on a pill to save you, it ain't going to happen.
You and also the thing is this does not, you do not have to exercise every single day Mm-mm. of the week. You should get movement every single day. 20 minutes, just go for a walk, get outside and pull weeds or mow your grass. Like mm-hmm. all of those things count. But if you're wanting to build muscle, like 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And then ramp it up if you enjoy it.
Yeah. And nutrition is like, I mean, so the women listening, when we talk about, you know, what they care about is weight loss.
Yeah.
They want weight loss. Women that are
spike your metabolism if you build more muscle.
If you change your nutrition and then weightlift 3 days a week, you're going to be getting what you want. But it takes work.
It does.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So that is kind of where we land on the importance of integrative care. We think it's incredibly important. We think that there are specific topics related to women in particular that are not getting addressed by the medical mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's a crime for women to suffer in silence. And so we are very big in advocating for yourself, pursuing answers, with the caveat that you better be very conscious of the fact that there's a lot of quacks out there.
Yeah.
So you need to do a lot of research and a lot of work and not just kind of hitch your wagon to the first person that promises you the world.
Yeah, don't give anybody a lot of money until you are confident in them.
money, time.
Because a lot of this stuff is not going to be covered by your insurance.
No. But a lot of it doesn't have to cost a lot of money either.
No. 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 Not always.
No. I mean,
I feel like you and I, probably me more than you, has sunk a lot of money into figuring out what is worth investing in and what's not. So if you have questions, just come ask me. I'm probably done.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a lot more slow to move.
Yeah. Well, I think it's nice that you have me because you're like, is this worth it? And I'd be like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do. We do have those conversations like, I don't know. But, you know, it will take me three times as long to pull the trigger on something that it does for Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah will do something. I will watch and see if I think it's worth it. And then I'll do it. I make her be the guinea pig. So that's another option. Find a friend, make them do all the costs and then decide.
Well, someone out there has done it. So just ask them.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no risk in that. Just find somebody who's done something that you are interested in or I've heard might be beneficial for you, and then just give it a...
Or just like, you know, this woman who was having all these menopausal symptoms, she went and had lunch with this nutritional coach and she was like in love with her. She's like, oh my gosh, we connected and she's so knowledgeable and I feel so empowered and I'm really excited to get started and I feel like there's hope. And it's like, that's what we want for you, is to... And that kind of leads us into our final topic, which is the mental health benefits of integrative care for patients. You know, I think we can both agree that cancer is incredibly disempowering.
I think on many levels. I think you feel a little bit out of control within your body. You feel a little bit out of control with your time because now you're like, I've got to go to all these appointments and maybe your work is giving pushback.
You don't feel control of anything.
It's feeling very much like your life is not within something that you have control over anymore.
Yeah.
And nobody chooses it.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, oh, in a couple of years, I'd like to go through cancer treatment.
Right. No, you're right. It happens to you.
Yeah.
You don't have a say in it. And then now you're on this path that you never saw for yourself. And that feels very disempowering. I think what we feel is that when you approach integrative care as an opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
Right. Both, you know, in mind, body and spirit. Now you're taking control of your health. You're not a passive victim of your disease. You are taking the bull by the horns. And that's very empowering.
Yeah.
And you can start to see results from those decisions, and that fuels you further.
Totally.
And so we think that this is incredibly important. So I think, you know, when we do the survivorship boot camps, we spend a lot of time talking about the impact of trauma on your body, your nervous system, the opportunity that exists for neuroplasticity and changing habits, both yourself and through other people who can help you with integrative care. So that you can use cancer as a springboard for your best life. And I think that that is sorely missing in today's society.
Yeah.
And it's just a real opportunity. So we hope that this encourages you. All right. Before we settle on final words, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
Any final words, Sarah?
No. I thought this was great. Hopefully people will stop thinking that we're like trying to point people in the wrong direction.
Yeah. If we just like throw some herbs over our shoulder and turn around three times that we think.
I mean, that might work too.
Yeah. There you go.
You want.
You do you, boo.
Yeah.
Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.